heard people whistling out there. That was pretty funny. It's pretty catchy. Good morning. My name is Chris Pavlo, senior pastor here. Great to be with you. I love that reading we just heard from Pastor Jack from Samuel, and anointing King David. Because like there's just so much about it that is insightful and you can spend time with. You know, here he lines up all of his sons, and you've got the brightest and the best, and you know, these tall kids. And God's like, as he often is, it's not the tall guys, it's the short guys that I choose as my instruments. But he's like, I don't look at outward appearances, I look at the heart. And he considers who David is, you know, like his character, his disposition, his personality, and that somehow qualifies him. And then like also his experiences, like he's out with sheep tending a flock, and something about caring for the flock and choosing the right pasture for them to be at and considering the weakest sheep and the strongest sheep and something about fighting off wolves, this prepares him to be a king. And God's like, he is the one, not one of many, not one of a few. He is the one I have chosen to be king. And part of the reason I love it so much is it's true for you too. Like God has specifically chosen you for a very distinct thing. It may not be king. Well, it's not king. God has not chosen you to be a king, I promise you. But he has chosen you for something very distinct and unique to you. And he looks at you and says, you're the one. Not one of many. You're the one I have chosen for this thing. And that's really what I want you to discover today. And in this series that we're in called Shape, where we're discovering who God made you to be. And the Shape is actually an acronym. Spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, and experiences. And we've kind of walked through these. If you haven't taken the Shape profile yet, if you haven't filled this out, please, 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 today's the last chance to do so, at least in worship. Please, please do so. We've got hard copies at the hub in the lobby out there that you can fill out and turn in right there. Or if you're watching online right now, you can just scan the QR code on the screen and use your smartphone. Or you know what? If you haven't done it yet and you're sitting here in worship, I won't even be offended if you just scan the QR code right now and fill this out during worship. I ain't mad at you. It's important to get this filled out because this is like, quite honestly, how we are going to engage people in ministry moving forward. We want you to be serving in the right place as God has gifted you. We don't want you being, disgruntled workers. We don't want you serving imperfectly and inefficiently where you could serve perfectly and efficiently. And so we want to figure out who God has made you to be so that we can, you know, leverage you and mobilize you for the life that God wants for you. But each week through the series, we've looked at different things. So spiritual gifts was week one. And we talked about, how you've been created or, you know, when you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit is in your heart and he comes bringing gifts. And so it's something, a soft skill that serves the church. It's something supernatural, but something that you didn't have before that now you have once you became a believer, or something that was in you that he's elevated to new heights. And so that's the spiritual gifts. We talked about that. Then in week two for heart, we talked about it, like, what are you hurt for? What breaks your heart? What's your holy discontent? What's the thing that makes you go, oh my goodness, this is not okay, the people group or the issue that you hurt for. And then in week three, we talked about your abilities, you know, what you do so well, whether you're a generalist or a specialist, there are things that you can do that I can't and vice versa, and we want to find that. And then here we are now, week five, wrapping this up with personality and experience. And honestly, this is a great ending because the further along we go in this, the more nuanced we're getting and the more into the fine print we're getting for who you are. And just a couple things before we get into this. Like Socrates, he said, the unexamined life is not worth living. And then right after that, they executed him. But the point being, the unexamined life is not worth living is a really important point. And that would then stand to reason that the examined life is worth living. And I want to invite you today to kind of examine your life, your personality and your experiences, not just like on a surface level, but with your permission to go a little bit deeper and a little bit more personal than we normally would. Because I want to help you examine your life so that you're able to say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. And we're going to kind of go surface level, and then we're going to peel the onion back a layer and let you go a little bit deeper, starting with personality. Everyone knows what personality is. There's all kinds of, you know, personality is your disposition. It's who you are, a little bit of your character. As the French say, the je ne sais quoi. I'm not even French, so I can't even say it right. Je ne sais quoi. I don't know what it means. Anyone French know what that means or speaks French? Je ne sais quoi. Okay. Anyway, y'all took Spanish in high school. Okay. The word personality actually means, like, the etymology of it, the suffix ality is like this ability to relating to person. So a personality is how you relate to other people, to another person. You can't have a personality by yourself. This is all how you relate to people. That's kind of interesting. And it would make sense. I mean, if God made us, as we would confess and believe, God, who is in relationship with himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, relating to himself, then makes us in his image, and we now are in relation with God and then in relation to each other. And so we have a personality. This is how we relate to one another. And a couple things about personality, it's kind of who you are. And your personality can change over time, and mine has. I mean, I'm not who I am in my 40s that I was in my 20s, but it's steering an ocean liner. It's a slow turn, and things can happen to change your personality, but it takes time. We're not jet skis when it comes to our personality. We're ocean liners. And then it kind of just brings up also, most likely you are called to serve in something that fits your personality. Sometimes you're called to things that are outside of your personality, but as you listen and think about these things, most likely you're called to something that lines up with your personality. Now, you can take a bunch of tests to find your personality, like really scientific ones, like Myers-Briggs or StrengthsFinder or Enneagram. Anyone taken an Enneagram before and found their number or their chart or your reading or whatever it might be? You can take really scientific ones, or you can take really unscientific ones like you find on Facebook. Take this quiz. Find out which Star Wars character you most resemble. Don't act like you don't take these quizzes, Bill Koontz. You're terrible at these, man. He's always posted. Anyway, so like, this is who you are according to Star Wars or something like that, or your Harry Potter character or whatever it might be. And that's fine. But that's all just trying to help us relate to people. For our shape profile, we decided, you know, like, there's only a few things that we really need to be able to, figure out how to position you for ministry. And they're kind of on spectrums, and like, you're somewhere, you know, along the spectrum. And so the first one there, introverted, extroverted, that means like you like just being with a small circle of people, or you're fed off and you're energized by being with a large group of people. Introverts are the one who, when we have a meet and greet time, stand and greet your neighbor, they turn and greet their spouse, and they think that counts. Does. And then the extroverted people are the people still shaking hands during the first verse of the next song. Okay, so this is a good spot to mention this too. There's no right or wrong with these, honestly. There is no right or wrong when it comes to your personality and how you serve. However, there is a right and wrong with where you might serve because of your personality. So it's not like saying, oh, it's wrong if you're an introvert or wrong if you're an extrovert, but it is important to know your personality as you try to figure out your place in ministry. Somebody who's introverted, you know, that would be in ministry. That would be, you know, somebody who's working with our facilities team and doing like handy things, and they're painting a wall by themselves. Somebody who's extroverted, man, you should be on the greeter team. You should talk to Nate or Jackie and join the greeter team and be, because you love being around people and you love welcoming people because you're extroverted. So there you go. Routine versus variety. Routine is the person who knows what's coming in 3 weeks and exactly what they're going to do. Variety is the person with a pile of mail on the counter. They're just going to, yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it. Like, they just, right? For me, this is, by the way, this is me, and it kind of highlights the importance of knowing this. When I was right out of college, I had worked at Thrivent Financial, actually with their Habitat for Humanity department and helping build homes. And I thought at first glance, oh, hey, I'd love this because I like caring for people, building homes, compassion, all that kind of stuff. This makes sense. But then when I got into the details of the job, it was so routine. It killed me. Like, it was just brutal. Every day was the same, and it was just very routine for my personality. And like, I did it slowly and I procrastinated. And when I quit, my boss was happy. Like, it was just, it was one of those things. Right after that, I went to be a worship director at a church with tons of variety. Every week was different music, and I thrived in that. And so it's just, again, knowing who you are and what makeup you are. In ministry here at St. Mark, our altar team, people serve on our altar team, they tend to be introverted, but they also tend to like routine. You're just setting up the communion elements every week or every time we have communion. Like, that's what you do. And then there's people who like variety. If you like variety, may I suggest our children's ministry? Holy cow, it's a jungle down there. Every week is like something completely different. And oh, this is happening today. Okay. And kids show up in different moods and you got to react. It's variety, right, Lindsay? I mean, it's variety. It's the variety show down there. Then thinkers and feelers. Thinkers are those who are like ready, aim, fire. Feelers are like fire. We should maybe aim now. I mean, like, and that's ready, aim, fire personalities. Like, but, and both are appropriate, actually. You can aim after firing too. But in ministry, thinkers, we have a constitution review team that's been going all year through our constitution line by line because it just kind of needs to be brought up to date. We need a bunch of thinkers in there. One of the guys on there is a CPA. One of the guys on there is an insurance agent. You hope that those people are thinkers, I think. And then you have feelers, like that's our whole worship team. You hope that they're feeling they feel something and they evoke some kind of emotion in us when they lead us in worship. Then you have those who like working alone and working in a team. This is also called the cooperative to the competitive spectrum. In my marriage, when we play board games, one of us plays to win. One of us plays so everybody has a good time. Which one do you think I am? Not really. Which one do you think I am? You play to win the game, right? Like, that's why we're playing, right? There's rules so we can beat each other. Anyway, you know me so well. So anyway, but like working alone or working in a team, maybe again, like, if you like working alone, there's certain roles in the tech team that are like very much, this is your role. But if you like working on a team, that's, there's a lot of opportunity to do that in the church here. We have an entire children's ministry where you can serve with a team of people. And then we have structure and freedom. It's a little bit different than routine and variety. You can have routine freedom or structured variety. But structure and freedom is just like, this is a very specific way to do things. And then freedom is like, we can do it any different way. Our care ministry or our upcoming Stevens ministry, which cares for those who are hurting and shut-ins, that's a lot of freedom, actually. You look at the person and try to assess their needs, who you are, and how can I meet their need? But somebody like structure, well, that's the people on our accounting team. We are doing the same thing every single time, and this is the way to do it. So anyway, there's all of the personality types that we really need to think about. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to turn to the person next to you, even if you didn't show up with them or come here with them. Name one of those that is most definitely you. Turn to the person next to you and name one of those that is most definitely you. Go. Okay, now flip it. Especially if you know this person well, name one that you think they most definitely are, okay? Tell them what they most definitely are. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Did you just say the whole left side? Wow. He just said, you are the whole left side. That is hilarious, right? Okay, because I know you guys like these kind of quizzes, here are the personality types of every office character. Here we go. So just so you know, some of y'all are Dwights. So Some of y'all are Michaels. I love The Office. Okay, so then speaking of occupations, then the next side of this, kind of going deeper into ourselves, more into the minutia and fine print of ourselves, is our experiences. And like, this reads like a resume because in some ways it kind of is. So like in the shape profile, we ask you these three things. What are your occupations? What's your education? And what's your ministry? And let me give you some examples of how each of these play out in real time. Okay. And why we're doing this, why this is so important. Occupation. Are you a plumber? Are you an electrician? Are you a nurse? Like we need to know these things. A month and a half ago, we had a young couple that wanted to buy a home. And so they reached out to the church and they said, hey, do you know anyone in the church who's a realtor? And we couldn't think of one. I promise you, a realtor goes to this church, but we didn't know it. And that's why in our database, it's so important to be able to go realtor and pull them up, and then we could send them a reference of people that they would trust. Huge, huge. And then like with education, high school, trade school, undergrad, grad school, like what, but what is your degree in? What did you specialize in? In accounting, or I specialize in behavior science, or I specialize in some kind of child education. A real time example of this for us, was last summer. Vacation Bible School is rolling around. We have a hundred plus kids come on our campus and have a rocking time. It's awesome. But we had some kids registered who have special needs, and we had some kids register who have sensory needs. And we're like, oh, we need help with these kiddos. And we pulled out our hair trying to find people who were trained and qualified to be their shadows and buddies all week long, versus just getting in a database and saying, you know, we need somebody who specializes in childhood trauma or whatever it might be. Like, huge. Huge. And it would be so much easier for us if you just told us how you were educated. And then finally, with ministry, just like what ministry experience do you have? This is obvious, but like, have you been a worship leader before? We would like to know that. Have you been an elder before? Did you come from another ministry? All of this matters. Okay. So this reads like a resume. All right. But this is where I want to like peel back the layer, go a little bit deeper, if you don't mind. And to ask you a few things that are not on the resume, that aren't necessarily things that you broadcast and would enter into a database, but things that you need to think about and examine and be introspective about your experiences, so that you can say yes to the right things, no to the wrong things, and understand how God is calling you and saying, you're the one. And it starts to get more personal, but let's talk about your relational experiences and your personal experiences. And these are a lot like achievements, like relationally, I'm married, you know, or I'm single, I'm newlywed, I'm an empty nester. But then there's a lot of pain with relational experience too. Did you grow up in a home with divorce? Are you divorced? Do you have a broken relationship with your kids? That relational experience matters. It makes you who you are, and this makes you distinct, but God wants to use that too. And then we get to personal experience, like, sure, did you win the spelling bee? Or sure, are you an Eagle Scout? Okay. But what about like your other personal experiences? Your personal experience of like overcoming cancer, your personal experience of with racism, the lived experience you've had growing up in foster care. Like, that matters, you guys. Because God wants to use all of you, all parts of you, to serve all parts of the church and to reach all parts of the world. All of you. And he wants to use and redeem the good and the bad. What you've been through is what you're called to. What you've been through is what you're called to. Your past so often becomes your pulpit. This is how you become an ambassador for God's promise, an advocate for God's purpose, an agent of God's power. I can't tell you how many times I have seen people who have been through bankruptcy become great finance advisors. Or people who have overcome addiction lead others towards addiction recovery. I've seen people, like, think about this. This is what people experience in small groups, and those of you guys who are in small groups can testify to this. But don't you think your divorce is a wealth of knowledge for that newlywed couple sitting on the other side of the living room in your small group? Huge. And they would love to tap into that wealth of knowledge that you have of saying, guys, if I could go back and do it again, here's what I would have done differently. Whew. What you've been through, it's what you're called to. And do not sit there and tell God, well, I mean, because then you start thinking about, like, the other ways that you've fallen short and the other ways you failed him, the habitual sin that you can't overcome or the addiction you can't break. And you start to disqualify yourself. You're like, this is a reason that you shouldn't call me. This is the reason you shouldn't use me. And God's like, no. Just open the book and read. Here, let me just read a few of these. I just wrote these real quick. And I was just kind of going, like, kind of chronologically through the Bible of how jacked up and broken the people in Scripture are that God chose to use. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was a liar. Moses had a speech impediment. Elijah was suicidal. Job was bankrupt. Gideon was a coward. Samson was hot-tempered. Rahab was a prostitute. David was deceitful. So was Jacob. Jeremiah was moody. Peter was overly competitive. John was overly emotional. Martha was a worrier. Zacchaeus was greedy. And Paul was a murderer. So who are you to tell God that he can't use you because of your experiences? Or that your experiences are off limit to him. We see the flip, actually. It's not that God uses you in spite of your brokenness, in spite of your experiences. We see the opposite. He uses you because of your experiences, my friend. And this is how he wants to use you. This is your shape for ministry. What you've been through, it's what you're called to. I've seen it again and again and again. Actually, Paul, the murderer I was just talking about, he was worse than that. He was a racist. He was judgmental, thought he was better than everyone else. He was like uber religious. Just a hateful guy. But then he met Jesus. Jesus wrecked him. And he absolutely came undone. And he stopped hiding. He stopped pretending. And he got honest with who he was, with God and with other people. When you look around you, I know we're really good looking. I know all of us are really good looking people, okay? You are. You're good looking. Own it, okay? But we're not as good looking as we look. Like, some of us are just barely holding it together. We are broken people, messed up people, selfish, petulant, rude, arrogant, liars, cheaters. We struggle day after day after day. That's why we're here. And I want you to know, I know this is like a phrase that people kind of roll their eyes at, but this is a safe place to be who you are, a work in progress, with other works in progress all around you. So that guy, Paul, met Jesus, Life started changing. And he got honest with who he was. And that's why confession matters, by the way. Like, why we take time of confession of our sins matters so much, because we are really good at lying to ourselves and lying to the people around us about who we are. But confession forces us to just be stark and honest. And Paul started being stark and honest with who he was. And over the years, near the end of his life, Paul was reflecting on who he was before Jesus, who he is after Jesus. And as he's reflecting on his life, look at how he describes what God did in him. Take a look. It's from 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 through 17. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I'm the worst, guys. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the judgmental racist, in me, the alcoholic, in me, the verbally abusive, in me, the liar, in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for others, as an example, so they would believe in him and be saved. And this week, as I was reading that, I started thinking, like, oh my goodness, I would love for all of us to be able to look at that and be like, that's me. That's my experience right there. And to be able to say these words for myself, like, in all of my brokenness and all of my weakness and all of my pain and all my failures, you know what? Jesus chose me that I might be an example for others, so they would believe in him. That they might see, oh my goodness, look what God can do. If they can use them, they can use me. That's what Paul's saying. And I was like, I would love for all of us to be able to say that. And I was like, oh, it's like a creed. Like we could read that together as like, you know, we do like a creed is a statement of belief, right? I believe this thing. And we do the Apostles' Creed a lot around here and stuff like that. But like we could read this as a creed for our experience, like all of us together, one voice. And I was like, you know what? We could do that for every letter in this series. We could have a creed about our spiritual gifts, a creed about our heart, a creed about our abilities, our personality, and our experience. We could say, because every week we've had a verse that is a statement of truth, a statement about that thing. We could read those verses together as a shape creed. That's what I want to invite you guys to do. So, please stand. Here's what I want you to do. As we say this creed together, I want you to like think about all of you, your spiritual gifts, all of you, your heart, all of you, your abilities, your personality experience, as you think about just laying yourself open before the Lord saying, use me, this is who I am, this is my shape. Get it all in your mind. And then I think you're ready to say this creed with me. And so I ask you, what do you believe about your spiritual gifts? I believe a gift of the Spirit is given to all believers for the benefit of the congregation. 1 Corinthians 12. What do you believe about your heart? I believe God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort we ourselves receive from God. 2 Corinthians 1. What do you believe about your abilities? I believe I am God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance to do. And what do you believe about your personality? I believe God created my inmost being and knit me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And what do you believe about your experiences? I believe I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for others so they would believe in him and be saved. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every person in this room, each and every person listening and watching online, or each and every person who hears the sound of my voice later on. And I pray, God, that you would show them who have you made them to be. And that you would get them off the sidelines and get them in the game and be engaged. Forgive us, God, for our complacency. Forgive us for our apathy. Mobilize us, equip us, engage us. And I pray you would use all of their spiritual gifts, all of their heart, all of their abilities, all of their personality, and all of their experiences for the good, the growth, and the glory of your kingdom. We pray now the prayer your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.